from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hammered in the air, deep to left field, history, number 300 for Aaron Judge, the fastest man ever in Major League Baseball to reach the 300 home run plateau.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
There it is, little number, that might work. Victor drops down. Victor scores, everybody up 90. RBI single. Julio Rodriguez and the Mariners have a 2-0 lead.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
And he gets another one. This one deep to right. Butler back near the wall. And it's out of here. Francisco Lindor's 100th home run as a New York Met.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Well, happy Thursday. What's up, sports fans? No Dirt, no Sprague, no swag. It is a Schultzy and Will edition once again of Dirt and Sprague here on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan. We are charging through summer. Will, it's great to be in with you. How you doing, man? I'm playing a little hurt today, but I'm happy to be here. Apparently, no one wanted to host this show today, so they had to go all the way down to me. Thinking maybe like had a nice dinner with my wife for her birthday last night, but thinking I'm finding a little food poisoning this morning. So not enjoying my time in the chair because I've kind of been back and forth to the ultimate other like throne like chair that we all have to use. So other than that, I am okay. But how you doing, man? Do you have a fun night last night? I know you've been in for swag a little bit this week. Let me know what you're feeling this morning. Hopefully not what I am.
Yeah, no, I feel perfectly fine. Well, I am great.
Tony the Tiger great?
Oh, dude, I'm having an elite day. I'm channeling my inner PJ Fleck. And right now, I'm house sitting for my cousins. They just got I think he's 11 or 12 week old. He's a little puppy. I'm trying to think of the name of the breed. Can't really think of it. Moose, it's the breed where they go and then they rescue the people after the avalanche. You know what dog I'm talking about?
I feel like I've heard of it. I just can't think of it off the top of my head.
Right.
But it's a snow dog.
Picture a snow dog.
Nice.
But so I'm hanging out with Moose right now. We're having a
great time. Upset on the Vancouver 4 text line. Any snow dogs that you can think of?
It's the exact one that you're thinking of, and I'm going to figure it out in the break once I Google it, and I'll be able to explain more about Moose. But
hell yeah.
No, dude, we're having a great time. It's a little different taking care of a puppy. Like my dog is 14 years old. So he's been around the block, but making sure every, couple hours, like, hey, we got to take him out, got to make sure that I stick to his schedule, make sure I'm feeding him, that whole 9 yards. We played outside. He won't walk. I had to.
Stubborn, huh?
No, like, he's one of those dogs where, St. Bernard, thank you, that came through on the Vancouver forward text line. I believe he's a St. Bernard. But so anyways.
Like Beethoven? Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he plays piano, though. So he won't walk. Like, you have to use his treats to, like, entice him to walk with you. Most dogs, it's like, got the leash on, let's go for a walk. Yeah. I want to go around, do different things. He doesn't want to do that. So I have to, like, trick him by like putting his food out in front of him, his little treats, to get him to go. But eventually you can only give him so many treats, right?
Some dogs will eat until they puke. Others are smart enough to stop. Like, I've got two cats and one of them just won't stop. The other does know how to limit it. So.
Right. See, this dog, he just gets to a point like I can get him to the end of the driveway. And then he's like, no, dude, we're not doing this. And then we'll just go out in the backyard. I'll, you know, throw some firewood on, light a little fire. And then he just kind of mulls around in the grass. Every once in a while, you got to go over like, hey, don't get into that. Don't get into that. But then otherwise, he just has a great time hanging out.
Hell yeah. Well, yeah. Good for you, buddy. House sitting is always fun because for me, as a college kid or slightly after that, it was always usually at a place that was bigger than my apartment. So I always enjoyed house sitting. I don't know if that's the sitch for you, but it sounds like it's a little flush. You got a fun dog to hang out with, maybe a nice big TV to play some video games on, something like that.
Right. They have a wonderful house. It's huge. It's out in... Well, I'm not going to say where it's out.
Yeah, no, but it's, no, don't tell people.
How about I give you the address so then everyone can show up and hang out with me or my cousins when they return?
But give me, it's out in the country. And...
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll give that out as well. I don't need that. That's not important. I've only been, hacked a couple of times. Can't be that bad, right? So, anyways, I'm basically living large for the next couple days. I get to be with the dog, and then I get to be in an incredibly nice house with a ton of acreage. I'm out in the country, which is where I really want to be. So I got to hang out last night with the dog while the sun is setting. There's a little TV in the backyard, so threw on receiver. I'm getting my way through that.
Yeah,
It was one of those where like you just kind of look around, and you're like, this is too nice for me. I shouldn't be here. I should be in some podunk apartment. People should be running around my neighborhood trying to clean their wounds with Armasol. It's a whole thing.
I mean, I'm pretty jealous of you just talking about this nice backyard, basically living room area. Good old TV out there. That's seems to be the new age thing, and that's something I think we were even talking about it last time I was filling in as producer with Dirt and Sprague, kind of like sprucing up the backyard area a little bit. I was talking about an inflatable hot tub. Sprague was talking about an above ground pool. But you're kind of, you're kind of looking at not only those options, like for like, you know, having the fun water sports in your backyard. I've seen my best friend, he'll throw the inflatable a water slide out there in the summertime that you get from Costco. That's always fun. But nowadays, everybody doing the kitchens, everybody doing like the wood-fired pizza next to, and that is so important if you're looking
top
for
tier.
Like, yeah, a complete backyard setup. And honestly, nowadays, you don't really have to spend an arm and a leg to do all that. It's going to take some time. I think if you want to save money, you're going to have to put in, you know, maybe some time learning how to do it and then doing the work yourself. But it can be done, and there are even cheaper options out there.
So. Right. Well, and I don't know how much of the work my cousin does himself. I mean, he's pretty handy, so it wouldn't shock me if he does a good chunk of what's going on out there himself. But, like, for me, it's one of those, like, if I could get a house like this, it's like it would be my ideal spot because it's nice. It's out in the country, right? So I get to have, you know, the cool sunsets. I get to have the cool sunrises. Like this morning, I'm out taking care of the dog so he can go and do his business. I get to see the sunrise. I don't have to deal with, you know, the light pollution. So I get to see the stars, which is a big thing for me. I'll just like go and sit outside, hang out. There's some acreage, but it's still in like one of those neighborhoods where it's like, they have their own space and they don't have to worry about other people being around them. They can see people coming up to them. But at the same time, you know, if their kids have friends, they're right there. They can walk across, just a little walkway and then they can go and hang out with these people. It's just like if I ever make it, there will be signs, and the first sign will be that I will have a house like this.
Yeah,
like
you have an outdoor backyard, dude, or a living room in your backyard, yeah.
It's in the perfect spot. Well, and like, I know a lot of people are doing the backyard, sprucing up. I'm a big fan of, finding a spot for the grill, the Traeger, whatever you've got going on. Having like maybe a little bar that you have out there. So you got the Traeger cooking, but then everyone's hanging out right by
overhang,
the Traeger cooking. Because what's the worst thing about having to be the person that cooks for the outdoor gathering.
You never get to hang out with
you're anybody. By yourself. Exactly.
That's why the kitchen kind of opened up and the open concept mm-hmm. kitchen became a thing, because the ladies making dinner didn't want to be trapped away and not seen. It's like, yo, let's hang out with everybody.
Well, even when you're grilling, like I remember I went over to, we were having like a coach's meeting, and so the coach was out grilling the host of the party, and it was in a perfect spot where like half of the people were inside in the kitchen hanging out doing that thing. The other half of the people were out, and they were out talking with the grill master and that whole thing. It's why, I can't cook. But two, I've always been a big believer in be the cooler guy, not the grill guy. Because the cooler guy, you're pretty cool because it's hard to mess that up. Like, get some ice, get some good drinks, you know, whatever you need. Have some stuff for the kids, have some stuff for the adults.
Smart, yeah.
But then you get to, like, enjoy still people's company. You get to do that whole number. But now I think with this evolution in the backyard grilling game, like, you can go out and be the grill guy and still have these conversations, still meet the people that you want to meet. Don't feel like you have to feel rushed before you start putting food on the grill or feel rushed after. But I think the sneaky thing that's great about it as well, no one can come and walk over your shoulder and be like, it's time to flip that.
Oh, they can't. Yeah, they can't do the assist, mm-hmm. the kind of. Kind of just, what's that, the passenger seat grilling, I like to call it.
Right.
Like, bro, you're not driving the grill.
The Monday morning grill back.
Ah, yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like you give me all the tips on how to season stuff, on when to flip it, but then I see you pressing the juice out of your burgers every time you get on a grill. So I'm not quite sure that I'm going to take any advice from you.
Right.
No,
well,
thanks.
Well, it's one of those things, like, you don't critique someone else's driving when you're in the car with them. You don't critique someone else's grilling when they're grilling for you. And you don't critique some other's like child rearing when you're watching their children, right?
Yeah.
Those are like the three big no-nos that I'm learning of adulthood, where like my idea of like three big no-nos was like, you don't show up to the party empty-handed.
Yes.
You don't drink other people's beers.
Yes.
when you don't bring beers, or if you bring bad beers, you better not drink my good beers. And then the third one is like, just always make sure you have a buddy get home. Like, have someone call the Uber.
That's fair.
No, it's being out there, I'm being spoiled right now. I get to hang out with a cool dog. He's really chill. Lots of naps. Big fan of, they have like the floor that they have where his like kind of area is. It's pretty chill. And so he's got a lot of fur. He likes to lay down. He likes to be in the shade. Easy to watch for like a 12-week-old dog.
My wife and I, this is making me think of an amazing time. And yeah, it was her birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, baby. Love you. I'm sure she is fast asleep, hopefully. Because I think our stomachs got messed up from last night. So maybe she's actually getting some time to rest, because we did not do much of that afterwards. But it was her birthday yesterday. And Will, you describing your house sitting experience right now is making me think of my wife and I, for I think like 2 or 3 years in our early 20s, were very, very blessed with the opportunity to house sit for it was like a nice ass house kind of back in Tigard here in Portland, kind of just on the outskirts as you're going down to the Tigard Beaverton area. And really like one of those like houses that looks like it's at like in a movie, kind of just set in a forest amongst others in a very, very rich looking neighborhood where houses are spread out in a forest, and it's big. They've got a house and then also a pool house as well. It's like a little guest area. We were living it up back in the day, and that was because my wife worked as a personal assistant for the person that lived there, and it was just quite the experience. And just hearing you talk about this amazing backyard with all of these fun features, we had the hot tub, we had the pool, we had multiple places to hang out. I had a birthday there one year. Nice. I mean, it was pretty lit for 2014, I guess.
Right.
But yeah, nowadays you can just get stuff for cheaper. I feel like even with like the tiny, because I've got a house in basically like a cookie cutter neighborhood in Wilsonville.
Yeah, yeah.
But we do have a tiny area on the side. But even with that tiny area, I feel like I can make it into a lot.
Yeah, dude. Whenever you can do anything to maximize the outdoor space, and like, the bummer, there's pros and cons about like living here, right? So like in the winter, you're never going to get to use it, which is such a bummer.
Yeah.
But I do think that is a big pro for the summer months here because you feel like you have to earn it. Like if you're in LA, I've always had this take. My cousins live down in LA. My aunt and uncle lives down in LA. My grandma, grandpa, they live down in the California area. And they do a lot of like, oh, have fun in the rain. Look, I'm hanging out in December outside. It's sunny and it's nice and warm. But I feel like when you have a whole year where basically you get to use that space or could use that space,
yeah,
I think you almost don't really get to use it. Or when you do use it, you don't enjoy it like we have to. Like we have to take the few months that we have, basically end of April, beginning of May, until about end of September, beginning of October, and really maximize our outdoor time. That's why I think like so many people on summer weekends are bolting to the coast or they're finding something to do. They're trying to make sure that they're outside, even if it is in that backyard. So I think because we don't have as many months where we get to enjoy that space, we really enjoy it to the zenith that we can, right? Like you make sure, hey, it's summer grilling season.
Yeah.
I'm outside grilling and I'm doing it as much as I can. Like half the time it's like, I don't even want to grill. There's no reason for me to grill. Like, why am I out in the backyard cooking hamburgers and hot dogs for breakfast? Well, just because it's those summer months and I feel like I have to take advantage of it now because in December, I can't do it.
Well, like if you're out in the middle of summertime, maybe not like heat of the day, you know, what, 3 to 5 o'clock here in Portland in the Willamette Valley, but like kind of after dusk, is it starting to get cool? Like, would you rather be inside playing video games, playing the new NCAA College Football 25, or would you rather be in a backyard area outside? Maybe you've got like not just open, but it's kind of like that screened in porch where the mosquitoes can't get to you. For me, if you had to say choose between the two, Schultz, I'm going outside. Yeah, I'm still sitting there playing video games, but like I'm at least breathing in fresh air and I'm right in nature. I'm glamping my ass off in my backyard, but I still am technically in nature. Right.
I've also realized as we're going through this conversation that like I'm officially becoming an adult because these are the things that I think about now.
Ah, welcome, sir.
Where it's like, wouldn't it be really cool if I put a TV in my backyard? Well, first, wouldn't it be really cool if I could have a house so that I could afford
to put a TV?
Put
one in there, yeah.
That would be really sick.
Just get ready next time you pass the Home Depot to be like, I think I need something.
Dude,
there.
Right,
that's like, when you know you're getting to be old man status.
How I know I'm getting to be old man, I'm flipping through channels that I stop on HGTV and I go, are they going to pick house number one or house number two? Like, house number two here on House Hunters, they have the backyard space that they want, but it's a little above their price range. Where, like, in high school, I'd be like, this is the worst thing ever. I'm leaving. I'm out. Have fun watching this, Mom and Dad. And now I'm them. I am watching HGTV, and I'm like, you know what? I really don't like the granite countertops with that sink. I don't think it works in that kitchen.
Oh my goodness! You know the amazing amount of television that you could just get lost in there. Yeah, well, I fun stuff. HGTV's basically already made decision. House shows, hunting shows, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. No, I get it. I kind of feel old, too, watching those. But I guess next up is the Weather Channel for you. Like, once you go and you start caring about, like, a storm front in Texas, like, oh, good thing I'm not on those roads. You really start to become
not happening. Oldie. I watch Twisters. That's about as far into the Weather Channel as I'm getting.
All right. Well, we actually do have a sports show. There's been a ton going on. We're actually in the world of preseason football. There's been some news to break down, actually pretty serious in the last 24 hours that we got to get to as far as a major quarterback. Rookie quarterback not able to play at all this season. We'll get into what the Minnesota Vikings are going to do after the injury to J.J. McCarthy. Get to some baseball as well. Aaron Judge hitting his 300th home run last night, a three-run bomb, helping the Yankees get a win, also becoming the fastest player to hit 300 home runs ever in MLB. So we'll opine on how far he can actually get in the standings. You won't have to pay much to buy season tickets for this team next year. We'll get into that. And coming up at 8, we've actually got to move the daily ticker a little bit, but at 8 o'clock, we've got Eric Garcia Gunderson from Blazer Banter talking about the Blazers moving on from Root Sports. Big news that we've got to unpack. But first, let's get to the question that my dad really wants to know about the Seattle Mariners. A, do they suck as much as he thinks that he does? But B, can they make the playoffs? We'll dive into that coming up next on a Schulte and Will edition of Dirt and Sprague. Happy to be in with you on this Thursday on 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This is Dirt and Sprague, on 1080 The Fan.
Happy Thursday, everybody. No Dirt, no Sprague. I guess Patrick Harris was supposed to be in here this morning, but he got sick as well, so they had to go all the way down the bullpen to moi. Yours truly, Schulte and Will here in for Dirt and Sprague on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan. Swag as well, he's off in Hawaii. Somebody that is not off in Hawaii and that is very, very upset after watching one of our local teams last night. My dad, very, very upset after the Seattle Mariners 3-2 loss in extras at the hands of the Detroit Tigers last night. Will, thank you, by the way, for including that clip in the open of Victor Robles scoring on that Julio Rodriguez RBI single to give the Mariners a 2-0 lead. They did have the lead in that game, then gave it up. And unfortunately now, here, let me just read this text from my dad really quick. I told you we will be out of the playoff hunt by the end of the month. It's happening right now. 2.5 games out already, and it's going to get worse. Yes, the Mariners, after the loss last night to the Tigers with a Houston win, the Mariners now sit 2.5 games out of first place in the AL West. The Rangers, not too far behind them still. 7 games is a bunch, but hey, anything could happen in the last month and a half of the season. We saw the Mariners give up a 10-game lead in, what was it, 24 days?
24 games.
24 games, excuse me. So yeah, setting a record for futility. gosh, my Seattle Mariners. But the Rangers still technically are in the race behind them, but to have faded out in the last couple of weeks. But Seattle really getting down to the wire with, I mean, you want to see them winning every series, of essentially getting down to the wire with must-win games. You gave up a ton, you know, earlier in the season that, yeah, you were getting some wins. You were getting weird walk-offs from like a, you know, like a passed ball, that kind of thing, just random stuff. Chaos ball, as the Mariners announcers like to call it, which it's, yeah, it's great when it's happening, but it's not sustainable. And then on top of that, the other games where they were losing earlier in the season, you just weren't showing up with the bats at all. And that's actually continued to be a little bit of an issue, it seems, at times here, Will, since the Mariners have tried to turn things around and acquired Randy Arozarena and Justin Turner. Obviously, Julio Rodriguez has come back from injury as well. They're still waiting on J.P. Crawford, but frankly, I mean, his presence in the locker room is still there, so I'm not that worried about having him. But what I do want to see, though, is Julio being Julio in August and September that he normally is. Those are usually his best career months. I think 391 is his career average in August, and he's hit the most homers ever in any month of his career that he has in September. So this is the time that we're supposed to see this peak ball. But do the Mariners, with their just inconsistency, and I hate to use that word in the world of sports, Will, because it's just, you're paid to be good, so you're not good. You're essentially not good right now as a Seattle hitter more often than not. Do they suck as much as my dad thinks? And I guess ultimately, are they going to fall short of the playoffs because of this lack of consistent hitting?
Well, I think the easy thing for most Mariner fans, right, is you look at what you've seen the last 20 years. And aside from 1 year, you have seen this Mariners team either be absolutely horrific or falter down the stretch. The other thing that goes along with this team is they're on pace for one of the worst averages in the history of MLB baseball. And I understand that average, batting average is what I'm talking about here, isn't what it used to be, right? It's not the end all be all. It's more about on base percentage and slugging. And of all time is never, never, never a good thing. It felt like, too, at the trade deadline, like you made these big moves. You went out and got Turner, who's fantastic, just a professional hitter, finds a way to put the ball in play. And then going and get Arozarena with the emergence of Robles, you're thinking, wow, our outfield now is full of studs once we get Julio back. And it just feels like they find different ways almost to shoot themselves in the foot, almost like that chaos ball that had been going so well for them the last 3 years, where it's just, how did the Mariners find a way to win that game? They had no business winning that game, yet they did. It feels like all of a sudden it's coming back around. I mean, just look at last night. You're up 2-0 in the eighth. You should win that game. You give up a home run in the eighth, and then you don't score a run in the tenth, and you give up a run for Detroit. Detroit is not a good ball club. Right now, they're second to last in the AL Central. The AL Central, it's not that good of a division. I mean, yeah, Cleveland's doing fantastic right now, but the Twins and the Kansas City Royals, I feel like they're thriving off of being in the same division as Detroit and as Chicago, right? They're in the same division as historically the worst team ever. In the Chicago White Sox. The Chicago White Sox, we are in the middle of August. They are 7 games away from having 100 losses on the year. In August. It's an insane number. So some of it is like other teams get bolstered by who they play, but when the Mariners get a chance to beat up on these cellar-dwelling teams, they just don't. They got swept, what, a week, 2 weeks ago against Detroit?
Mm-hmm.
They're looking a sweep dead in the eyes right now. When you get swept by Detroit, those teams don't usually make the playoffs. When you lose, and you lose horrifically in multiple series to a team that really they're big-time sellers, they aren't going to be a playoff team, and they're not going to be a playoff team anytime soon. That leads me to believe that this isn't a playoff team either.
Yeah, it's frustrating when you see essentially a team that's now, I mean, you're in danger of getting swept by the Tigers, so that's 3 games. You're already looking at a sweep of the Angels, a 3-game sweep, and then they lost 3 out of 4, I think, a couple weeks before that to the Angels. And these are...
They're like 2-14 or 2-12 against the Angels in Detroit.
Ugh, Joe Adell has owned the Seattle Mariners this year. It's been
so
bad.
It's
disgusting, actually,
how
well he hits when he's at T-Mobile Park. It's pretty crazy. But overall, my point is... When you look at this offense just showing up part of the time and getting those clutch hits, I mean, the on-base percentage for some of these guys is good. They walk, you know, Mitch Garver, thankfully not really getting at bats. But then I still wonder about how Scott Service is managing his team, because Justin Turner, as you just talked about, being brought in to stabilize the lineup, help the locker room, really good veteran presence. He didn't play yesterday, and I'm pretty sure he got a day off on Sunday as well. It's not like they have... a season of games with him. They've basically got 60 games, and the fact that you're sitting him twice in 3 days, I mean, you can DH him. You need that bat in the lineup. There's a reason that because you weren't in on Vladdy Guerrero Jr., you tried to go get, you know, somebody veteran savvy that was available to you at a decent price. Justin Turner fit that bill, and he is much better than almost every other hitter you've got in the lineup as far as just being a pro goes and how to work the count and situational hitting. So it just doesn't make sense to me that we're still seeing that. And overall, with the offensive issues, man, this team is exciting. They're young. They've got the pieces, Will, but I am not convinced that Scott Service, and there is a lot of argument out there that managers don't really affect the game nowadays, which I would say more often than not, they don't. They basically put the lineup together, help the locker room vibe, manage that, and you know, communicate with the front office, essentially. But they do have in-game situations to choose, and they have different things that they have to make a decision on. And there will be points where you look back at this season, Will, that Scott Service's decision-making, as well as this offense, has put them in this position to suck.
Yeah, no, I mean... Right now, just I pulled up their averages. Your leading average for the Mariners is Justin Turner and Julio.
Yep.
Like, those are your best two hit for average guys. Everyone else is bad. You're at 263. Then you go into the home run numbers. Cal Raleigh's at 20 or 21, whatever he is.
Oh, no. He's at like 25 for six.
26.
Now.
So 25, 26.
Set a new career high for RBIs already.
No one else is even in the high teens.
Nope.
You know, you look at stolen base numbers. You look at any measurable metric when it comes to offensive output. It's not good. Even like Robles and Rosarena, guys that, you know, you picked Robles off after the Nats got rid of him and you traded for a Rosarena, and I know he's having a down year, but when you go and you look at even guys who seem to be doing better, when you look at their numbers with runners in scoring position, they still have issues where they falter, right? And so it just seems like that timely hitting, where you might have had those bad averages, you might have had those bad games where you would get blown out and then you won a bunch of games by one run in the ninth or one run in the tenth, the law of averages eventually comes back around. And it's coming back around to hurt you, because you just don't have timely hitting anymore. And part of the reason you don't have timely hitting is because you don't have enough guys on base.
That's fair. And you talk about the law of averages. One guy that they also acquired at the deadline, Jimmy Garcia, he was actually, and he's been nails for the Mariners since he was acquired, he was actually the one that gave up those two earned runs to give Detroit the chance to get to extra innings and actually get the win. So, and what are you going to do? I mean, he's the guy that you acquired to be your best reliever, but he's not going to be perfect. And if your best guy comes in and he gives up a couple of runs, I do think you kind of just got to go, okay, next up, we're going to try to get this tomorrow. And maybe if you look at this series in a vacuum, that's kind of what you can label it as, is just kind of, well, whatever, this stuff has happened, we lost, it is what it is, you know, we expect to win when we put Jimmy Garcia on the mound in the seventh and the eighth inning, so I'm going to keep doing that. And then a 15-1 loss before that, I mean, that happens, you know. It sucks to get your ass beat like that, but sometimes you got to take your lickings. And I think George Kirby ended up giving up, what, like 13 hits and 11 runs and 3 2/3. That's like a month's worth of runs for him. It just doesn't happen. So in a vacuum, this series maybe can be written off as just kind of whatever, but at the end of the season, Will, it's just too important and these losses mean too much. So will the Mariners make the playoffs? I mean, I hope, but I'm not sure. at this point. And my dad's out on them. He thinks that they suck and that they were out like 2 weeks ago. So there you go. Hopefully they can turn it around. Hopefully they can actually get their next series. They do have one more game to wrap it up today in Detroit. Do you see who's taking the mound for that one, Will?
Yeah, it's Bryce Miller. He's taken on, I have it.
Fiedo, I think is his name.
Fiedo, yeah. So the Mariners are favored, but I learned something the other day when I was doing one of the gambling shows. Bryce Miller splits home versus road.
Oh, a lot of the pitchers have great home splits right now.
And very bad road splits, specifically Bryce. That being said, they need this one. He needs to come up big. Plus, he could get his 10th win on the year.
So, that'd be huge. Yeah,
reason for him to come out and be throwing hard.
Come on, Bryce. Nails for the Mariners today. We need you as Mariners fans. All right, sticking with baseball, we will get into some football talk in the 7 o'clock hour, as well as some basketball talk in the 8 o'clock hour, talking about the Blazers moving on from Root Sports with Eric Garcia Gunderson from Blazer Banter. But a big home run last night. Aaron Judge hit his 300th home run, became the fastest player in MLB history to get to that mark. Will he break the all-time home run record? That's next, but first, here's Will with SportsCenter.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Big night in baseball last night. Aaron Judge hitting his 300th career home run in the Yankees' 10-2 win over the Chicago White Sox. A huge milestone coming in the top of the eighth, actually. Will, thank you. You were really good on the clips this morning in the open, brother, because that was, I would say, the biggest moment in the world of sports yesterday, and really kind of sets up this 300th home run. By the way, becomes the fastest player to reach 300 home runs in Major League Baseball history by getting to that number in 3,428 at-bats, surpassing Yankees legend Babe Ruth, who got it in 3,830 at-bats. And, Will, I think it's a really good time to take a look, not at the Yankees season. They're fighting the Orioles at the top of the AL East. We'll see who makes the wild card, who makes the playoffs. Of course, there are still teams battling it out, like the Royals, the Mariners. If they're not in first place in the AL West, then they will be battling it out for the wild card against either the Yankees or the Orioles or possibly the Sox. But anyways, the point that I'm trying to get to here is about Aaron Judge and his career. I mean, the dude is obviously a stud. We know that. Broke the non-steroid single-season home run record a couple of years ago with 62. Been battling it out with Shohei Ohtani basically like every other season, it seems like, in baseball for the MVP award. Basically entered the game yesterday with the most home runs, most hits, most RBIs, highest on-base percentage in baseball of anybody, and is second in all of baseball with a .332 batting average. Now seventh all-time in Yankees home run history behind A-Rod, Yogi Berra, Joe DiMaggio, Lou Gehrig, Mickey Mantle, and Babe Ruth. I mean, it keeps on coming as far as accolades go for Aaron Judge. Now that he has 300 home runs, Will, do you think he can break the all-time home run record of 762 set by good old allegedly roided Barry Bonds?
No, he's 32 right now. He has a history of having injury issues. And what's going to kill a lot of players from this era is you have a year where it largely gets taken away from you. And that's not your fault, right? Like the 2020 season
had
to be so short. And then you had to deal with, you know, other things along those lines, you know. And so you have a year where basically you throw it out, it's gone. Even like the people of Barry Bonds era, Mark McGwire, Ken Griffey Jr., like you have the strike shortened season, but that got shortened, correct me if I'm wrong, in what, August? September?
Yeah.
Is when they called it? So you
August, yeah.
You largely got a full season still out of that year. So for me, no, he's not going to do that. I'm looking right now at his game logs on Baseball Reference. He, in 2017, he played 155 games.
Yeah.
In 2022, he played 157. In 21, he played 148. Aside from that, this is the fourth most games he's played in a season ever at 120 right now. In August, he has a history of getting hurt all the time. By the way, he's 32. So when you talk about your athletic peak, he's pretty much hit that. Like, he's starting to hit that downward trend, right, where you're going to start losing some of your athleticism. You might make up for it in your, you know, knowledge of the game, or, hey, I know what's going to happen in this situation because I've been in this situation before. But when you talk about your peak athleticism, it's going away right now. So I think it's a lot easier when it comes to these all-time records, especially when you're over 400 away from it, to just slough it off. Now, is he one of the more impressive power hitters that we've seen in our generation? Yeah, of course. When you talk new age baseball, there are three baseball players that you bring up, and he's number two. It's Shohei, it's him, and then it's probably Bryce Harper, although I'll tell you what, Paul Skeens, if he continues to perform the way he has been in 2 or 3 years, he'll be the fourth one on that list. But to think that Aaron Judge is going to continue to hit home runs the way he has all the way until he's 42, which is what he'd need, if my math is correct, to catch Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
There's just no way.
I mean, I asked the question because you're right. He's up there. He's already 32 years old. But Hank Aaron, for instance, in his age 39 season, second all-time in home runs with 755, hit 40 home runs at 39. I mean, hit 301 that year. Started to taper off at 40, 41, and 42 with 20, 12, and then 10. You know, Father Time is beaten by no man. But I do feel like, I guess, Will, with just the age that we live in now, I understand Aaron Judge hasn't always been on the field, but it's a big if he can stay healthy, and when he's healthy, he continues to hit bombs. That's not a question. I do feel like there's at least a chance for him to hit it. It's not probable. Not probable.
No.
But there's a chance if he's hitting 40 to 50, if that dude can hit 50 for the next 5 years, and this is always how these conversations go, right? You look at the overall career trajectory of a player, you kind of try to guess how many home runs they're going to hit, and sometimes injuries derail you. See, Ken Griffey Jr. ended up sixth all time with, 630 homers, was thought to be the guy that was going to break the record. Then Alex Rodriguez was going to be the guy that was going to break the all-time record. Well, he got to 700, but he took a ton of steroids. And, missed, a year and a half of suspension because of that, some time because of injuries, like later in his career, just kind of here and there, took games off of him. So there's just so many different ways that these projections can end up being missed. Albert Pujols on the other side of it, actually. No one ever thought that he would get to 700 home runs because he was just hitting at such a bad clip.
He got old.
In the end of his career. Exactly. He got old. But then all of a sudden, a nice resurgence with the St. Louis Cardinals puts him at 703, fourth all time, right behind Babe Ruth. So I guess the point is that there is a possibility here if Aaron Judge can continue at peak, not maybe health, but home run hitting form. I do think that the possibility is there, because if he's at 300 today, you hit 50 the next 5 years, he's at 550, and then he's 37. You're starting to wonder, okay, how many is he going to hit a year? But the conversation can be had at that point, I think.
Yeah, that's why I wouldn't be having it now. But you're also asking a guy to hit 50 home runs at 33, 34, 35, 36. And then at 37, you're asking for a conversation, and you're comparing his numbers to Barry Bonds, who, come on, we all know.
No, Hank Aaron. I was comparing him to Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron.
I will not compare anybody's to Barry Bonds.
I was going to say, come on, if we're comparing anyone to Barry Bonds, I think the problem here is that he's been hurt. He's already been hurt.
I hear you.
A ton. And like that, I said, this is his fourth most games played year. In 2022, he played 157. In 2017, he played 155. In 21, he played 148.
Yeah.
He's at 120 right now. It's the fourth most he's played in a single season. You have to bank on him being healthy and playing somewhere between 150 to 160 some odd games, and he has to keep hitting home runs at the same rate, and pitchers have to continue to keep pitching to him. There's just so much there that I'm not going to think that he's going to get to that number. You have to have drop-off. And if you don't have drop-off, then you should be tested every day because you're on something. That's just life.
It's a fair question, bro.
That's just life. Like, you go and you talk to anyone who's in their 40s, they'll say, man, I recovered so much more efficiently at 30. I was able to do, like, I was able to go and run and lift five times a week. And now I'm happy if I just get in and I go and stretch. It's what they tell me all the time at the Crunch Fitness that I go to.
Yeah.
Man, I used to be as big as you, Will, but I can't do it anymore. I'm happy now if I just get in and I walk on the treadmill for 30 minutes and then I do some light aerobics. Like, your body changes and you can't recover and you can't hit as far and you're not as strong and PRs start to come into play. And he's at that age now.
Like, yeah, it's
going to start happening. You're going to see a decline.
Yeah, overall, you just don't see many guys with this because it is hard to keep that consistency through such a long, sustained career. For instance, I mean, Hank Aaron never hit more than 44 home runs in a season. That was his high, I think, three times in his career. But he literally played for 22 seasons, and the lowest amount of games before his final year at the age of 42, which was 85 games. In all of those seasons, the 20 seasons, he played in a minimum of 112 games, and most often was playing in near all of his team's games. And that's right. That's exactly how you hit home runs. You got to stay on the field. But Aaron Judge hits a ton. And in the world of 2024, I do think it's worth asking the question that if he keeps slugging these homers at the rate that he is, if he can possibly get to that home run record. Fun conversation to have. Let's get into one more baseball conversation before we move on to some football. You won't have to pay much to buy season tickets for this team next year. It's $6.50 on The Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Calling a quick audible. Hot route, Omaha. Will Ortner just pointed out something very, very hilarious to me that he was watching on ESPN Get Up. Talking about Mike Greenberg basically setting up a segment with his co-hosts. Like you said, it was two or three other people talking about Deion Sanders becoming the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Are we really having this discussion, Will? Is that what I am to believe that ESPN was just talking about?
It was on the lower third graphic.
Oh, my God. So they're sitting there discussing this. Let me quickly... No! Not yet! Why? Why are we even discussing this right now? Why is a 4-0 start last year for the Buffs anything to write home about now that you've seen how that team ended up playing against true Power 5 opponents? It boggles my mind, Will Ortner. I can't understand. I love Deion Sanders he's exciting. He's fun. He's flashy. Like, I always loved watching him when he played. Watching him do what he did at Jackson State was pretty impressive, and it seemed to me that he put in the work at Jackson State to succeed there. And at Colorado, I mean, earlier this week, reports surfacing that there's, like, trouble with the media there. According to certain reports, Deion Sanders not taking questions from certain reporters because they aren't covering the program favorably. It's like, well, hold on, buddy. So you think, from what I'm hearing, he thinks that people should be covering the Colorado program in a more positive light. And he enjoyed the positive light that they had when he started his tenure there. Hasn't gone that way since, and it's been kind of a slug through the mud for him. Why? Why in any multiverse that exists right now would Deion Sanders be ready to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys?
Because you have nothing else to talk about. That's why.
Oh, come on. We
because
have a full show today. That's
Because you and I looked at the lower third and just went, what?
Okay.
And then we had to sit there and then pay attention to it.
Like, really?
That's why they're doing it. It's super clickbaity. But I do find it funny that there is a national love for him. While he might have an issue with certain reporters or even certain brands, right? Like, I think his whole thing was like, well, you work for CBS and CBS has attacked me, so I'm not going to answer your questions, which...
Okay, Donald Trump, like, what the hell are you talking about?
Honestly, to me, it's objectively funny. Like,
well, it is,
I would like to be able to do that in my life. Just like, sorry, your name's Ashley. Can't talk to me. Don't like Ashley. Ashley's are mean. That would be a great thing to implement into my life and to my sanity. But I think we've gotten to the point now where it's almost the LeBron MJ thing of 5 years ago, where all you have to do is mention LeBron MJ and you're going to throw that segment onto a get up, a first take, a whatever Skip Bayless's show used to be called. And then you get to have this debate and it's now Cowboys and Dion. And so you're going to get Cowboy fans over here. You're going to get the Dion fans or largely haters. And it's going to drive all these people to pay attention to this segment. A couple tweets will get clipped and get sent out. And then you pay attention and you get mad on Twitter and you go to your Reddit message boards and you complain about it. But it gets the numbers that you want and that you feel you need. It's just funny that you're going to do that. Like, it's so blatant now. It's so obvious what everyone is doing, yet we all fall for the same trap.
But is there even, like, a real conversation here? Because you're so right. No, they framed it beautifully. They did it to get max reaction out of people like you and I.
It worked.
Is there substance to this argument?
Then? No, no.
Okay.
No, this is, you're just throwing it out there. But it clearly worked, because what's the very first thing that I said in the break? I looked up and I go, dude, are you kidding me?
Okay,
they're talking about Dion. And then you go, oh my God, they're talking about Dion. And so you flip it on. And now we've just done 6 minutes or so on Dion Sanders possibly being the next head coach of the Cowboys. Like, we are wrong because we have fallen for the trap and we should be smarter. Like, we understand this. We understand what they're trying to do, yet they still got us to fall for that trap. And so I just think it's interesting and it's sad at the same time that I think a lot of people that listen to this station in particular are very smart when it comes to sports.
Yeah.
And they're very smart when it comes to sports shows and when they're trying to have a real conversation and when they're not trying to
just
have a real conversation.
Just kind of being clickbait like this, yeah.
And we know what they're doing, and we still fall for the trap every single time.
It's because the argument...
I don't know how you don't get out of it.
It's because the argument sounds so outlandish, Will. It's because you really do... Yes, the reason, you want the clicks, you want the listens, you
and
want the
works.
Views. But just the fact that, like, you want to try to frame any kind of segment that you're having a serious discussion about it's a misnomer in sports, it's a misnomer in the world. Don't do it! Stop doing it.
Now I'm watching Greeny take snaps from Damian Woody. This is a great show.
Well, we'll try to continue our great show as well into the 7 o'clock hour. Let's switch gears, get into some football talk. Which team is already looking ahead to 2025? We'll talk about them next, coming up on a Schulte and Will edition of Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.